The next Wednesday, the very next Wednesday, I'm at Kip's Revelation Bible study on Wednesday night. And after Bible study, I go into his office, you know, to talk to him about this. Is this really true? And he, as he told you, you know, God put it on his heart to finish this book. And thank God, praise God, he did. And he said, I cannot focus on this book if I have to prepare a sermon all week. You know, and God just put on my heart that you and Michael Belton just lead service. And the timing couldn't be better. I had these events that had occurred that same week were on my heart. And wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. So we're going to talk about acknowledging God's authority in your life, Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. But before we go there, let me frame this for you. Let me tell you these three things. These three things I saw, I heard, I experienced. And this is all about that same time. You know, 3 weeks ago, there was a Baptist preacher in Great Britain who was arrested. Anybody hear that story? Baptist preacher in Great Britain. Great Britain's not much different than the United States. They have pretty much the same freedoms, don't they? But listen, this Baptist preacher got arrested for preaching the truth. He was out saying, preaching too loud. They were saying he was preaching too loud. He was preaching about sin. Adultery is sin. Drunkardness is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Blasphemy against God is sin. They did the whole nine yards, DNA test, fingerprints, treating them like a criminal. See, in Great Britain, they have these people walk around the neighborhoods called PCSOs. I don't know what the PC stands for. I can't remember. Maybe political correctness. Kip always says political correctness is going to kill us. You know what? PCSO, something like community safety officer. He overheard this Baptist preacher talking about the sins, and they arrested him. Unbelievable. He was preaching nothing but the truth. He was preaching God's word, what is in this Bible. You know what? That same day, unbelievable, that same day, I heard this story. At work, I had Homeland Security terrorist training. You know, I'm in the Coast Guard. Actually, there was a young lady who graduated last week. I wasn't at morning service, but she's going to the Coast Guard Academy. I would love to talk to her. I've been in the Coast Guard 14 years. I've been down in the Caribbean doing drug interdiction. I've been up in Alaska rescuing fishermen in the high seas. I've been doing homeland security missions off the coast of Korea, cleaning up oil spills and rescuing and preventing illegal immigrants coming to our shores. I would love to talk to that young lady if she's around. I'll have to get with you, Dennis, to see if she's going to be here. Her parents, I'll talk to her a little bit about the Coast Guard. Anyway, that same day I'm having training. And it's about... It's about Islam taking over Western Europe, and believe it or not, here's a blurb on Muslims, the Muslim community growing in Great Britain. And you know what? Why are the churches empty in Great Britain, but the mosques are full? I swear to God, I've seen that. You know, there were so many people in that mosque. They were overflowing. They didn't have enough room. The Muslims were out on blankets, out in the streets. And the imam was out on the street, and he was preaching at the top of his lungs. He was preaching, kill Americans. He was preaching, overthrow the British government. And he was preaching what the Quran says, kill homosexuals. And what did you see? You saw British police around protecting those people. How come that imam isn't being arrested? How come the Baptist preacher is in jail? You know what? You know, we're told we are going to be disliked by this world as Christians. We are told that we are going to be enemies of this world. We are told if we speak the truth, know the truth, we're going to be disliked. We are told in John chapter 17 to be in this world but not of this world. Amen? You know what? That was the first thing that happened to me. The first thing I saw got me all going, got me all excited. It didn't stop there. The next day, or maybe a day or two later, I had to go to San Francisco on a work trip. I don't like going to San Francisco. I don't even like flying. My wife can tell you. But I had to go to San Francisco. So I'm driving around. I'm looking for my hotel room. I'm in downtown San Francisco. And I drive by this beautiful stone church. You know, beautiful. Steps going up, big red doors. You know what? I looked around. I saw something or another church. I didn't see a cross on that building. I did not see a cross on that building. But guess what I saw? I saw a banner above the door. I saw a banner. It was a rainbow banner. If you don't know what a rainbow banner is, it's a symbol of gay pride. And it said, that didn't bother me too much, but it did. I mean, this is not a sermon on homosexuality. Trust me, I am a sinner just as much as a homosexual. You know, we all commit sins. But what got me going was this banner said, all lifestyles welcome here. Jesus tells us in Matthew, look out for sheep in wolves' clothing. You know, they're going to distort the word. They were preaching some kind of watered-down Christianity in that church. And I just knew it. You know, I feel sorry for those people. That pastor is leading them astray, saying, oh, your lifestyle's okay. I don't want to come to church and not feel convicted. I don't want to come to a church and not know that I am living in sin. I need to know that I need to know what needs to get me right. God is going to get me right if I know the truth, if I know what's in this word. That church does not preach out of this Bible, does not preach out of the Bible that I know. We got to know the word. Do you know the word this morning? Are you getting into your Bibles? Oh, that got me so upset. Preaching some watered-down version of Christianity. Unacceptable. Distorting God's word. So you're wondering, what's this third thing that happened, huh? Well, you know, you think the United States were protected by these things that we see in Great Britain or in Western Europe. Debbie said it this morning, you know, our freedoms are so important, God-given freedoms. 10 years from now, we may not have those same freedoms. You know what? It's not too far-fetched of an idea that there might be a Sunday morning where the AC in this building is broken, and we have to roll up the windows, roll down the windows. And you know how Kip preaches, and he gets on that mountain, and he is blessed and breathing the Holy Spirit of God, and he is screaming at the top of his lungs, and he is just preaching the word? What if somebody in the neighborhood hears what he says? What if somebody, one of the neighbors hears what he says, and they don't like it? 10 years from now, it could be a possibility that we as Christians could be arrested. Kip could be arrested for preaching nothing but the truth. You know, they don't even like the fact that we want to build a new building to make the community better, be a beacon of light in this neighborhood. You know, I can just hear Kip right now, bring it on, brother. I want to be arrested for Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you want to be arrested for Jesus Christ? You've got to know the truth. You've got to get into the Word. Got to acknowledge God. So did I tell you about the third thing, or did I miss that? I can't remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, the third thing, the same. All this was happening within 1 week. I love Georgia. Let me tell you, and this story is out of Savannah, Georgia. I love Georgia. My wife's from Georgia. Better love Georgia. You know what? But Georgia, when we go there for vacation, it is one of the few places where they don't look at you funny on a Sunday morning if you're going to church. They don't look at you funny if you're going to church on a Wednesday night. They don't look at you funny if you're going to church on a Sunday evening. You know what? They look at you funny if you're not in church. Here, oh, it's not like that. Let me tell you, at least not in my neighborhood. You know, I drive down the street. I'm coming to church. The driveways are filled with cars. The kids are out in soccer uniforms. The kids are out in football uniforms, baseball uniforms. They look at you funny. My family tells me I'm funny because I go to church on a Wednesday night. I go to church on a Sunday. I'm in Lifeline. You know what? Georgia's great. But in Savannah, Georgia, of all places, there's a senior citizens home where they're taking away the right of those people to pray out loud and bless the food that they eat. They interviewed some of these people. Some of these people have been praying for years now, thanking God for the food, just like God wants us to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Acknowledge God all the time. Pray continually. These people are faithful servants, and now the right for them to pray to God out loud is being taken away. You know what one senior administrator said? They should be acknowledging the government because it subsidized food. You know what? The world wants us to be dependent on anything but God. They want us to be dependent on anything but Jesus Christ. Where's your dependency this morning? So they compromise. The administrator said, oh, we'll give them a moment of silence. But just don't say Jesus Christ out loud. Oh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Give thanks for all. Acknowledge God for everything. All right. Those are the three things that have been on my heart for so long that I felt compelled to share with you this morning. And you know what? So what are we to do as Christians? How do we deal with this? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm reading out the New King James Version. I'll do what Kip does. What page is that in the Pew Bible? 764, thank you. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Why do you think that verse is first? You think it's important? Keep my law. You know what? Matthew 5:17 says, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. You follow Jesus, you follow the law. You follow the law, you're following Jesus. Yeah, amen. And look at the blessing that you receive when you do that. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. You know, it's not telling you as a Christian, not every one of us is going to live to be 99 years old. It's a spiritual peace. It's a spiritual life that we're going to be fulfilled. And how do we not forget the law? We open the Word. We just don't open the Bible on a Sunday morning. We just don't open the Bible on a Wednesday night. It's got to be a part of your daily life. Oh, I was so guilty of just looking at my Bible on a Sunday morning. I can't put this down. I am probably the only guy on the metro train at 5 in the morning with my Bible open. And I'm not bragging. I want to read this. I feel like if I'm not leaving my house with this, reading this in the morning, I feel like I'm walking out of the house with my pants off or without a wallet in my back pocket. And look at the blessing. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know what? Sometimes I don't want to forget something, so I wrap something around my finger. Do you ever do that? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm strange. But, you know, half the time I forget what that thing is wrapped on my finger for. You know what? But if something was tied around my neck like a tablet, I don't think I'd forget what that thing's tied around there for. What's God saying there? Got to know His Word. Just don't look at your Bible one time a week. Open that Word. Know the truth. Verse 4, and so find favor and health, so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I don't know who doesn't want to find high favor with God. What a blessing. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do you think that's what that preacher in San Francisco, that church in San Francisco is doing? You think he's looking at the Word? You think he's preaching the truth? You think he's acknowledging God, seeking God, praying God, telling people the Word, the truth, the light? He's making up his own watered-down version of Christianity to make you feel good. Make you feel that it's okay to live in your sin. Make you feel it's okay that you're looking at things you're not supposed to. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I remember, there's been several sermons now where Kip stands right here, and here's the path to God. You know, a straight line. You know what, the Hebrew actually, direct your path means, the Hebrew words, walk a straight line. You know what, if you're living outside God's will, and you're not saved, and you're not being blessed by the Holy Spirit, and you're getting off that straight path, what's going to bring you back into the will of God? Need to walk in the will of God. And the only way you're going to do that is if you know the truth. And the truth is here in the Bible. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, I can't trust my own eyes sometimes. You know what? My eyes are worldly eyes. They focus on things that aren't right with God sometimes. You know what? When I look at the Bible, when I seek God, when I pray daily, you know, God is putting God is putting my eyes on the right thing. And look at the blessing. If you do that, if you fear the Lord and depart from evil, not be wise in your own eyes, look at the blessing that's promised. Verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We're not talking about strong bones and teeth. We're talking about a spiritual health that you can only get if you put your trust and faith in the cross. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you will have a spiritual health. That's what life's about, having spiritual health. In verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. I couldn't get away from it. You know what that verse was telling me? That verse, something just kept popping in my mind. You know, we all can honor God with our homes. We can all honor God with the little quarter acre land He's given us. We can all be good stewards of that. We can all, you know, honor God with our cars. Vic, hallelujah for your transportation ministry, bringing people who would not have a chance or an opportunity to learn about Jesus, bringing them to this church. Oh, amen. But you know what came to my heart? I kept thinking about food. You know, every day you buy food. It's a possession. You own it. You pay for it. You own it. What better way to honor God and acknowledge God in your life than to say a prayer? Say a bless the food every day. That's three times a day. Oh, God, who will bless you? You know what? My wife and I made a commitment when we were first married that I was going to pray over dinner. We were going to bless the food every dinner. Hallelujah. And, I was fine with that. You know, as long as it was in my house, I didn't have anybody over, nobody was going to see me do it. I'm ashamed that I was that way. You know, we would go to the Chili's. We would go to the Olive Gardens. We would go to the McDonald's. And I would look around, make sure I didn't have any friends there. Make sure there weren't people too close. You might hear me. Oh, I was ashamed. I wish I was never like that. I wish I didn't have to go through that. You know, I've been transformed. Since then, I am praying at the Olive Gardens. I am praying at the Chili's. I don't care who's in there. Amen. I am blessing the food. And you know what? Choices matter. You know why? I have a 4-year-old. Well, he's not quite 4 yet. I have a 2-year-old. She'll be 2 tomorrow. And when we're at the McDonald's, when we're at the Chili's, when we're at the Olive Garden, I don't have to tell them. I don't have to remind them. They are sitting there when the food's on the table. They fold their hands. It's because of the teachers in this church. It's because of the Christian preschool they go to. It's because of the good example mommy and daddy set. You know what? And my son and my daughter, they don't care who's looking at them. They don't care who hears them. Oh, Jesus says we need to have the faith of a child. I wish I had that faith. Oh, I'm so thankful for those kids. Oh. And look at the blessing. Verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with wine. You know, I don't have barns and I don't have vats, but that sounds so good to me. Hallelujah. Oh. So last week we heard Kip preach on choices matter. All right? All right. Choices matter. A lot of you might have kids getting ready to go to college. You know what? If you're not in Sunday school, if you're not in church, what are the chances that they're going to want to go to Sunday school? What are the chances that they're going to want to join a Christian club? I didn't have that example, and I was lost. I was a prodigal son. You know what? Parents, you go to Sunday school, chances are your kids are going to follow suit. Amen. If you're not looking at the Word, what are you looking at? If you're not trying to seek the truth, what are you looking at? If you're not praying to God, who are you praying to? Who is your dependency on this morning? You know what? Try a Wednesday night Bible study. There's plenty of seats for you. And some of you might have jobs like a nurse, a firefighter. You know, you're on duty. And God understands that. Those are important. If you can't make it a Wednesday night, try Sunday. Try a Lifeline. I am so blessed. When I come up here, I am ready to serve the Lord. I am ready to worship. Hallelujah. We have lots of Lifeline seats open too. You know what? We're getting ready to start 1 and 2 Corinthians. Who doesn't want to know what a New Testament church is like? This is Jesus' time. This is what church is all about. This is what church should be. If you have the opportunity, please come to Lifeline. You know what? Maybe you're saying, I'm not disciplined enough to read the Bible on my own. Pick it up every day. You know, Lifeline tells you. It's just not one chapter. It's five background chapters. I use that. I read a chapter every morning on the train. Get ready to close here. You know, just a few weeks ago, we were studying Leviticus. I think it was chapters 1-7 were the background chapters. And this is where God was telling Moses what the sacrificial system should be. You know, God said, Moses, tell my people about the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the grain offering, the wave offering, the heave offering. You know what? Mix this much oil here. Mix that much oil there. Put a little bit of unleavened bread here. Unleavened bread. You know what? I'm so thankful. I would have to go into that temple. I would have to go in that temple with other people with a checklist to know what I needed to sacrifice. There's not enough fields in Howard County, Maryland. There's not enough fields in the state of Maryland to graze the sheep, the lamb, the bulls that I need for my sins. But no, it's all been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. It has all been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate sacrifice. You know what? One time a year, the Jews would have the Day of Atonement for the whole nation of Israel. Forgive them of their sins. Two goats would be brought into the temple. One, the unblemished sacrificial lamb, or sacrificial goat. The other would be the scapegoat. The high priest would sacrifice and kill that goat with the blood on his hands. He would put his hands on the horns of the other goat, set that goat free into the wilderness, representing the transformation of sins from the nation of Israel to this scapegoat who would go out in the wilderness, never to be seen again, taking away the sins of the nation. Jesus Christ was the ultimate scapegoat. We no longer have to do that because of the cross. Because of Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. I'm so thankful this morning for Jesus Christ. So thankful for the cross. Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful for Him being the ultimate scapegoat so that I don't have to be subject to the law. I could never be perfect enough. So, I ask you, Christian, how do you seek truth? Where do you find truth? How often do you open your Bibles? Who really has the authority in your life? How often are you seeking and praying to God, giving Him thanks? Let's pray. Oh God, You are a marvelous, awesome God. We give You praise. We give You glory this morning. I'm just so thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. That I don't have to know the difference between a peace offering, a sin offering, a trespass offering. All I need to know is the truth. Jesus Christ died and fulfilled all those things. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you feel that the Lord has spoken to you, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I just pray that you think about it. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you come forward. Kip will be here to receive you. It's not a decision that we can make for you. It's between you and the Lord. Or maybe if you're a Christian, you just feel like you've been falling short. You just need to rededicate yourself to God. You need to be more. You need to get into the Word more. You need to pray more. You need to acknowledge God more. You know, He'll come forward. There'll be a deacon or an elder here in the church to receive you. Or just come to the altar on your own. God, I just give you this time. I give you these people. I'm thankful. So thankful for what you've done through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. When the music fades.